So good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Birch Ridge. My name is Milt, in case you didn't know, and I'm really glad that you're here today as we wrap up this series entitled Leading Our Families. Over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at some things, and some people may have, you know, I haven't had any kind of pushback, and I think that's really good from the aspect of sometimes you preach some hard stuff like this that goes against the grain, maybe of culture, of society. You know, like I mentioned last week, sometimes, you know, it's just kind of been that thing like, hey, you know what, I bring home the bacon, you raise up the chicken, right? And it'd be like, that's not really what God's Word says about men and women and our role in the family. And so it's been a little bit of I felt a little bit of hesitation, but I know it's exactly what God's Word says, so I'm going to go get it. Right? And I'm going to deliver it to you, and you have to deal with it. You have to square with God on that. Okay? But we talked about some things like, you know, how important it is for godly spiritual leadership in our homes. Right? To just own that. And then we talked about how you can't lead somewhere where you haven't been led. Right? You can't be effective leaders in your home unless you've been an effective follower of Jesus. Right? It just doesn't work. And so, it's been an incredibly humbling time for me the last couple weeks, and very fun, actually, to bring that truth and to watch many people go, yeah, about time, and to people go, you know, it's been really wonderful, and I pray that it's been wonderful for you. And so, but I believe with all of my heart that not only Birch Ridge, but Christ Church all across our country needs a spiritual awakening. Right? It needs a spiritual revival. It needs a shake-up, if you will. Would everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
There's just something wrong with the American family these days, the American Christian family, and I believe we need a shaking up. And so we're just going to do another week. Right? We're going to get after it for one more week of this series called Leading Our Families. And my prayer is that we would be encouraged as men and women to step up and step out and be the children, the men and women of God that He has called and created us to be, and to understand the very unique, wonderful, powerful, so important position that God has for each one of us in our families and in our churches. And so that's where we're going to go. But before we dive in too deep, would you help me recite our family declaration? Words going to be on the screen. I'm going to ask you to help me say it loud and proud, okay? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Very good. When we're in proper relationship with Jesus, then we will be in the right position to effectively bring godly spiritual leadership to our homes. We will have the wisdom, we will have the strength, we will have the courage to step up and step out and be what God wants us to be. Because the truth of the matter is, we will be guided by God's Word, and we will be guided by God's Spirit, and that will allow us then to be the godly spiritual leader that He's called and created us to be. Guys, in particular, we've got an incredible privilege, but also an incredible responsibility to set the example and lead boldly. But I believe, as I said last week, it starts with an individual relationship with Jesus. You know, before you can be an effective leader for your home, you first have to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. You have to sit at His feet and let Him teach you. Let Him disciple you. Let Him minister to you. If you're a younger man, you need to reach out and connect with an older man and say, would you disciple me? Would you help me to become more like Jesus? There's lots of experience. And I'm saying, you know, I never like to do this. Okay, anybody seeing me? I never like to do this. Like, you're here, I'm here, or I'm here and you're there. I like to do this. It's just, you're not any better than me, I'm not any better than you. It's just maybe some of us are a little farther down the line than others, right? It's just a play on words, but it's really impactful when you realize that sometimes we're just at different places. And so, young ladies, I encourage you to get with a lady that's not as young as you. Right? Do you like that? I didn't say old ladies. You know, you get with the ladies got a little more wisdom and years under her belt to disciple you and to train you and teach you how to be that godly woman that the Bible talks about. It's so important. Right? And so we've got a responsibility to set the example and lead boldly, but it has to start with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That you have to be born again, you have to allow His Spirit to come in. We not only receive Him as Savior, but we surrender our lives as to Lordship of Jesus. It's one thing to receive, but it's the other thing to lay down and say, after all you've done for me, how can I not give you everything I have and allow you to be Lord of my life? That's the golden nugget, y'all. That's the important thing. So many people, like, they interchange those words. They say it just like Lord and Savior. Like, it's just, like, you can't say one without the other, but they're two different things, right? Jesus is Savior, and at some point, hopefully it's rather soon, you know, if you're a thick like me up here, it took me a while to where I received. Well, that's awesome to receive from God, isn't it? But it's something altogether different to then surrender and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? I'm all in. My answer to you is yes, no, it's the question, right? And so that's where it starts. And so it's our responsibility to lead boldly and lead from the front and lead by example. And it has to start with a personal relationship with Jesus, and it starts with spending time in God's Word and reading and studying God's Word. Yet so many times, here's where I'm trying to get at. So many times I hear people say, you know, Pastor, I get it, I understand, yeah, that'd be the ideal thing, but I'm just so busy. You know, you don't understand the kids I got to keep track of. You don't understand what it's like to be a dad in the 21st century. You don't understand, and I'm so busy in business and the economy and all that. It's like, really? I get all that. But you're too busy for God's Word. And sometimes when I hear that, you know, it's like, Let me say this. I understand, but I still strongly disagree. I understand what you're saying, but I disagree. Because if I were to somehow be able to look inside your life last week, like, I wonder how many hours, I'd see you read the newspaper or other books, right? Or watch TV. Or how many hours we do this. Right? Thumbing through social media on your smart. But we're too busy for God's Word. I get it. Right? No. And this may sound rough and abrasive and something like that, but so be it. The truth of the matter is we make time for what's important to us. We just do. If it's important, you're going to find a way to do it. Like, you know what? You can be slammed all week long in the next couple of weeks with so many projects and stuff like that, but you know that the salmon are coming in. And if you really want to go fishing, you're going to find a way. Right? It might be 11 o'clock at night. You're going to find a way to get out there and catch some fish. If it's important to you, you're going to find a way to do what you want to do. If God's Word is really a priority in your life, you're going to find time to get in it. And you're going to find time to ask God to speak to you and let words jump off the page and teach you. No greater teacher in all the world than Jesus Himself through the Holy Spirit inside of you teaching you what His Word has to say. But why, preacher? What's so important about the Bible? Why is it so important to give such devotion to this thing? Well, let's consider a few things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, be diligent. What does that mean? Be diligent. Like, give yourself to it. Don't give up. Be focused. Dedicated. Okay? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Right? I could make this thing say whatever I want it to say. So could you. But we have to understand how to divide, rightly divide the word of truth. We have to know what it says You know, I can turn to one page that says, Judas went out and hanged himself. And then I can turn to another page that says, go thou and do likewise. What? Right? I can make this thing say whatever I want it to say. We have to take text in context and understand what the scripture says. Right? Does everybody understand that? Be diligent to search out the scriptures and be able to be confident and have God's approval and know that that you may not have to know where you can find every answer in here, but you know that every answer in here is here, right? There's no reason why we shouldn't be adding to our arsenal daily, weekly, new truths. You know, we talk about that. You know, that thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's so beautiful to have a 4-year-old, I think she is, right? 4 or 5-year-old recite that family declaration on video for us to show that a 4 or 5-year-old can memorize scripture. Why can't we, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Y'all, it's not only the family that prays together that stays together, okay? It's the family who reads God's word and studies what it says and are devoted to what it says that really prosper. So not only we talked about, you know, how a couple weeks ago I talked about how if you just go to church while the kids are young, there's like an 80% likelihood that the children are going to continue to go to church after they've reached adulthood, right? So not only is it dad's responsibility to make sure that the family goes to church and that you set the example, but men are responsible for teaching the Word of God to the family. Write that down. Men are responsible for teaching the Word of God to the family. Well, why do you know it's dad's? Because the Scripture says so. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, remember we said this, you know, and I got some of these looks like, you know, does it say moms? No. Does it say moms and dads? No, it says dads. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but do what? Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dad, it's your responsibility to teach the scripture to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I have given you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Teach the Word of God to your kids every day, all day, anytime, all the time, anywhere, everywhere. Isn't that what it says? Teach the Scripture to your children. You see, here's the deal. Most of the problems that's facing the American family today, listen, we sing our whiny, snivelly, you know, sad songs, woe is me, right? But the majority of the problems that face the American family today are as a direct result of disobeying and ignoring God's instructions for their household. Most of the problems that we face as American Christians today is because we're not doing what the Word of God says. We're not holding it in high esteem. We're not honoring it. We're not trusting it. We're not studying it. We're not following it. Most of the problems are because we're not following God's instructions. We're told to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What's the King James? Admonition of the Lord. Right? We're told to bring our children up to be godly, responsible, contributing members of society in God's church. But when parents don't do that, listen carefully, it's a slippery slope. When one set of parents decides not to do that, the next generation is more ungodly than the first. And it doesn't take long, and look at us now. Who would have thought that 2021 would be or 2023 or 20, go back to 1975, and they thought things were bad then. Wow. Nobody in their right mind would think our world would be would lose their ever-loving minds like we have in the past few years. I mean, it's like, it's not just proportionate. I mean, it is like accelerated. Each generation maybe God didn't know exactly what he's talking about. He said one man and one woman. Look at us now. Right? And that's just one example. I could just, we're a mess. Where shall it end? Right? Where's it going to stop? Where's it going to end? I'm hoping, and I'm praying that there's some men and women in here with some intestinal fortitude, with some guts, that are fed up and said, enough is enough. I'm tired. I'm going to break this cycle of dysfunction in my family. Yeah. Right? It's not going to change what happens in the White House. It's going to change what happens in your house. Are you going to be a follower of Jesus or are you not? Are you going to blend in or are you going to stand out? We have to make choices. I'm praying that there's some red-blooded American men and women in here to stand up on their hind legs and cry out, thus saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Too many men have been sitting on the sidelines watching their wives raise the children. Perhaps there's many reasons, but I think there's one solution. Step up, men. Step up and be the leaders that God has created you to be. Declare that enough is enough and you're going to do what God's called you to do. Ladies, if you've been doing it because you fear that your man won't, stop. Put the baton down and let him pick it up. Is he going to mess things up? Oh, of course. He's a man. Right? We're going to mess it up really good. But it's our God-given role to lead. So let the man lead. It's not a sexist thing. It's a Bible thing. Okay? It's God's plan for men to step up and lead. So, ladies, if you've been doing it because you're like, why isn't he doing it? Stop. Just put it down and let him pick it up. Let him make a sloppy mess of it, and he'll figure it out. He's going to learn. He's going to get some men around him that are going to teach him and help him. And next thing you know, he's going to be a master of leading your home, and you're going to be so grateful that you put the baton down. Men, if you've been too afraid to pick up and lead because you're afraid you're just going to mess it up, you're insecure in your abilities, well, get over yourself. You're going to mess it up, but that's okay. Stop listening to the lies of the devil and start listening to the voice of truth that says, this is what I have called you to. This is what I have created you for. Step into it. Lead. Lead like the man of God that I've called and created you to be. A godly man is one who loves his family so much and loves his church so much and loves his God so much that he can't not step up and protect and provide and lead. Let these scriptures speak to you as an example of righteousness. That all Christians, men and women, are to live by. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Everybody buckled in? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what our sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting at each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Is that, does the scripture sound familiar from maybe Romans chapter 7? And Paul says, I know what I'm not supposed to do, I end up doing it all the time. I know what I'm supposed to do, I don't do that. Oh, what a mess I've made of things. Who will deliver me from this mess? Thanks be to Christ, right? Thanks be to Jesus who will help me overcome all of this mess. It's that anybody that thinks like, oh yeah, I used to be subject to that. I'm no longer anymore. Look out, lest you fall. Right? The moment we think we've overcome something, that's why I love when I talk to an addict, right? Because they are in the recovery mode. 28 years later, or whatever, I'm in the recovery mode. They realize it's just one slip away, and it's just shoot. Right? We have to realize that we're not above temptation. We're not above falling. You know how many preachers fall from the pulpit every single day? You know how many preachers walk away from their calling every single day? Anybody who thinks they're above falling is just a fool or an idiot. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. 2 Timothy 2:15 again. Read that at the beginning. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. These scriptures are not qualifications of church leaders, y'all. They're requirements of Christians. This is an expectation of Christ followers. Every one of us is supposed to fall in line with these scriptures. But, let me say this, as you follow these scriptures, you're going to find yourself pretty equipped to be a church leader. I'm not going to get into the discussion today or the argument about all of the requirements to be a church leader. I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying you will have pretty much whooped most of the requirements of being a church leader just by following these. So in other words, watch this. It'll be on the screen. I don't want you to miss this. If you don't possess the qualifications to be a church leader, you're probably not very well equipped to lead your family. Let that settle in for a moment. Let it sting if it needs to. Maybe a little bit of pushback at first. But take everything I just said, take it to Scripture, and see if I'm not true. It is true. Most of the requirements of being a church leader is found right here in the requirements of being a Christian. And if you don't meet the qualifications of being a church leader pretty much on level 101, you're probably not very well equipped to lead your own families. That's why Scripture says if a man can't lead his own household, how's he going to lead a church? Just saying. Men, you have a great calling in your life to lead boldly, following Jesus boldly. If we want our families and our church to be fruitful and faithful, we need to be the example. We need to be the leaders. We need to be men of God. What I'm saying is the American Christian family is not thriving. Okay? The American Christian family is not thriving. We become very distracted. We become very busy. And we need to pause. We need to stop. Like it's out of control, runaway train. We need to stop, jump off, whatever, and realign our priorities with God's, not the rat race world we're living in. We need to stop. You know, you go through a crisis and you go see a counselor, a worldly counselor, you know what they'll say? Get a hobby. Keep yourself busy. Keep your mind off things. But what does God say? Be still and know that I'm God. Those who wait on the Lord. Right? Isn't it funny how the world's ways and God's ways are usually about 180 degrees off? This is true. What is it that takes your time and attention away from your family, from God, from His church? Men, daddies, husbands, we got one shot at this. One shot, and there are no reviews. You got one shot. Step up, step out, and be the men of God that He has called and created you to be. In His holy presence this morning, I pray that we don't make any good decisions, that we make some God decisions. For the sake of your own walk with Jesus, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your church, for the sake of the one who gave it all away for you. May we worship Jesus. May we surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. May we lay it all down for His honor and His glory. Amen and amen.
You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.